A un primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick a Pop Podcast. I am your host, Sam Duesenberg. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, that's T-H-E-E-S-A-M-D. Subscribe and rate on iTunes. Search Pick and Pop Podcast, that's Pick and Pop, no and, Pick N, the letter N, Pop Podcast. SoundCloud.com/ShillFreeSports is where you can find this show, prize shows, and future shows. ShillFreeSports.com is where you can find my blogs, my columns, my thoughts on everything sports and entertainment. So it's Super Bowl Sunday. There's not much going on besides that. Everything has built up over the last 2 weeks to today. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody's at their parties. I'll be at my second gig, but I'll be watching the second half of the game with the homies. So the first half, I'll catch glimpses and pieces of it at work, and then I'll transition to the homies' crib for hopefully an exciting second half. But you know what you also get on Super Bowl weekend? You get the Hall of Fame announcement. So last night, the Hall of Fame class of 2017 was announced. There were some pretty notable luminary names. Terrell Davis finally gets in. 4 extremely dominant years, and then his career shortened by injuries. He finally gets in. 2-time Super Bowl champion. Party exclusive and the elusive 2,000-yard club. Morton Anderson, legendary kicker, seemingly kicked my entire childhood into my adulthood. And he was always automatic, especially from deep. So he gets in. LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, gets in. San Diego Supercharger and New York Jet legend gets in. Perennial Pro Bowler, led the league in rushing. You know, he's definitely deserving of such an honor. Jason Taylor, first ballot Hall of Famer. Didn't see that one coming. I thought he'd eventually get in, but I didn't think first ballot. Jason Taylor, dominant defensive end. Again, Miami Dolphins. And again, New York Jet legend. You know, but there was one glaring omission to round off this class. For me, as a child of the 80s, as a teenager in the 90s, and as a grown adult, 2000s and beyond, your boy T.O., my boy T.O., I'll claim him, my boy T.O., still not in the Hall of Fame. It's trash, B. It's trash. Now, this is the Barry Bonds effect, where T.O. is disliked by the media. He was disliked by his teammates sometimes. But the skill is there. There's nothing that T.O. couldn't do at his position. Outside of Randy Moss, from the mid-90s to the mid-2000s, who is better? Who? I'll give you Moss, and that's debatable. But outside of that, you gotta go T.O. So the fact that T.O. is not in the Hall of Fame is just another example of the shill media that I try to rail against every chance I get. There's no other reason for people to keep T.O. out of the Hall of Fame other than they just don't like that dude. I ain't like what he was about. I ain't like his attitude, his persona, all of that. That's the only reason, because it's nothing about the field. Because we could go to the stats. You know, everybody wants to be all about the analyticals nowadays and analytics. He's second in NFL career receiving yards with almost 16,000. He's third in career receiving touchdowns with 153. He led the NFL in touchdowns for 3 seasons. Not he led receivers. Not he led running backs. He led the entire NFL in touchdowns 3 times. It was All-Pro 5 times. All-Pro first team 5 times. And he still can't get in. Now, again, you want to talk about the popcorn. You want to talk about the sit-ups in the driveway in Philly. You want to talk about him playing that football on the start and getting cracked at midfield. You want to talk about all that stuff. That's cool. But when it came down to it, now trust, I'm a Bears fan. Full disclosure. He personally destroyed my team as a one-man wrecking crew in Jerry Rice's last game. Go back and look at that tape. I think he had 21 catches that day. It was Jerry Rice's last game as a 49er, sort of a home-going celebration, kind of like a funeral, basically sending him off because they knew Jerry wasn't coming back to the 49ers. It was supposed to be Jerry's day, and T.O. lit up the Bears for 21 catches that day. And Jerry Rice was still holding on to the struggling cornrows at that point, but T.O. stole the show and let everybody know, damn, Jerry Rice, I'm the kid. I'm the man right now. 21 catches, bro. 21. And these weren't checkdowns. You know what I'm saying? This isn't, you know, how Alex Smith gets down. This isn't how Brady and Edelman dink and dunk their way down the field. This isn't, you know, Phillip Rivers and Danny Woodhead will turn a 2-yard catch into a 15, 20, 30-yard gain. This is deep outs, deep post, corner routes, seam routes, everything. 21 times. Decimated the Bears that day. I'll never forget that. So this is a dude who was dominant. Y'all remember that Super Bowl? That Eagles Super Bowl against the Patriots? Played on a fractured leg. As a receiver. You know, Alex Mack is going to play with a fractured leg today. He's a lineman. You know, legs are important, sure. But you can kind of, you're not moving around too much. T.O. had a fractured leg as a receiver. And still put up numbers. While your man's Donovan is out there throwing up. T.O. was out there getting money. Belichick had no answer for him, even with the fractured leg. What other excuse do you have? What can a writer say that's honestly a legitimate reason not to elect Terrell Owens into the Hall of Fame? What can they tell you? I gave you stats. He has memorable moments. He has career-defining moments like that Super Bowl against the Patriots. What else can they? What else was he supposed to do? How much more could he carry Donovan McNabb? How much more could he carry Jeff? Look at the quarterbacks that T.O. had to catch balls from. Now, he had Steve Young in the beginning, so he started off great. Then he had the likes of Jeff Garcia, Donovan McNabb. He had a young up-and-coming Romo. And then he went to Buffalo. Who did he have in Buffalo? Was it still Bledsoe? I'm not sure who it was. It might have been Rob Johnson in Buffalo. So you can really make an argument. He really only had one good QB his whole career. One great QB his whole career. Steve Young. Tony Romo, good / maybe great. The Romo we've gotten from like 2013, 2014 to now is light years better than the Romo that T.O. had to deal with. I mean, that was Parcells and Romo at that point. A lot going on there. So T.O. had mediocre quarterbacks his entire career, except for the beginning with Steve Young. And he still amassed the numbers I read to you earlier. He still competed and was in the same conversation of Randy Moss. Who's better? Because who else can you legitimately put in that conversation? From that era. Isaac Bruce? Nah, not me. Torrey Holt? Nah, not me. Reggie Wayne? Nah, not me. There's a certain dude who got into the Hall of Fame last year at the wide receiver position who I won't name because I don't want those problems. But he played for a team in the Midwest that has a horseshoe and a helmet. And that's all I'll say about that. T.O.'s better than him. So really it was just of that generation. Again, mid-90s to mid-2000s. Moss and T.O. That's it. That's where it begins and it ends. All the other dudes come after the fact. I mean, who else you want to give me? Eric Molds. You know, Jimmy Smith. I mean, there's a bunch of dudes who were good. Maybe slash great. But not elite. T.O. was elite. Randy Moss was elite. That dude who played in Indianapolis with the horseshoe on his helmet. He was elite. But not to their level of elite. A notch below. Don't tell him you heard that from me. So, you know, T.O. tried to do the stand-up thing. He tried to send some tweets out last night to try to calm things down. But in true T.O. fashion, he just had to let it rip. You know, he said, when you align expectations with reality, you will never be disappointed. To my fans, my family, fans, and friends, I'm a Hall of Famer. Hashtag flawed process. Then he tweeted about 10 minutes later, unfortunately, I did not make it again this year. Thanks to all my fans and supporters. Hashtag flawed process. Then T.O. really got in his feelings about half an hour later. Hall of Fame is a total joke. Honestly, doesn't mean anything to get in beyond this point. Which is a lie, because if he gets in next year, he'll be there. Problem is, you want to know who is in the class of 2018? You know who is eligible to make it in the class of 2018? I'll give you the three dudes who I know are getting in. And they normally only put 4 to 6 guys in. 4 for sure is the minimum. So these are the three dudes who I know are getting in next year. First ballot. You want to know? All right, cool. Class of 2018. Brian Urlacher. No doubt. First ballot Hall of Fame. Your man's the pastor. Ray Lewis. First ballot. No doubt. Hall of Fame. And Randy Moss, wide receiver, dominant, elite, immortal, first ballot Hall of Fame. So how's T.O. getting in next year? Huh? How's T.O. getting in next year? They're going to put 2 receivers in? They don't like putting receivers in off the rip. I mean, you see how long they made Chris Carter wait. Chris Carter had to wait like 6 years. And T.O. is better. Was better, is better than Chris Carter. And they made Chris Carter wait 6 years. And he doesn't have any of the baggage. Now look, Chris Carter has some drug problems and drinking problems early in his career. But after that, he was elite. And they made him wait 6 years. So how long does T.O. got to wait? He ain't getting in next year, most likely. If Randy's first ballot. Now, Randy don't get in. Then, you know, I say we need to roll up on the writers and press them. If Randy doesn't get in. Now, Randy had similar dealings with the media, but not like T.O. T.O.'s media exchanges and publicity, negative publicity, was on a way higher level than Randy. Randy, you just had the stuff in high school out there in West Virginia. The college stuff, Notre Dame, then on to Marshall, which made him fall to the Vikings in the first place. Cowboys still should have took him. I'll go to my grave saying that. And then you had the mooning incident where he mooned the fans, or he didn't actually moon them, but he acted like he was mooning the fans at Lambeau, which was hilarious because, again, you know, I'm not a Packer lover by any stretch of the imagination as a Bears fan. But I'll say it. Fuck Green Bay. There it is. So when you have Randy Moss, who had stuff in high school, stuff in college that could be deemed negative, that could slant your viewings on him as a person, goes to the NFL, and I remember Joe Buck destroying him after he mooned the fans, or fictitiously mooned the fans at Lambeau. Got on his soapbox and spent half an hour destroying Randy Moss on live broadcast television, which I thought was a travesty and a joke and one of the biggest show moments ever. Even with all of that, he'll still get in. With T.O., it's just a bunch of the prima donna stuff, look at me stuff. The fact that he cried for Romo, he's my quarterback, all that stuff. All of that and his penchant for claiming he's the best when quite naturally, aside from Randy Moss, at that point in time, he was the best. And historically, you could say he's top five. You could even say top three. If I said, in no order, Jerry Rice, T.O., Moss, who you got that's beating any of those three? Who you got? If I say, it don't matter the three. It don't matter what order. But the three, it's Rice, T.O., Moss. I don't know who you're putting in there that makes me say, oh, well, let me move Moss up out of there. Let me move T.O. up out of there. Let me move Jerry up out of there. None. That's it. Those are the three. So the writers got it wrong here. T.O. got robbed. He got humiliated. He got embarrassed. Yet again. As dominant as he was. As meaningful as he was. As gritty as performance as that Super Bowl against the Patriots was. These writers are worried about him waving pom-poms, throwing popcorn on himself, and standing at the star with his arms extended. That's what they're more concerned about. And that, to me, is a problem with the media in general. And that's why you get things like me creating chill-free sports. Because I don't care about the stuff off the field. I used to go by a thing when I used to have a podcast on something called Dog Pound Sports. You know, I respect the player, not the man. That was one of my sayings. Because I didn't care about the man. I'm here to talk about the player. That's all I care about. When it comes down to grading these guys and judging them on what they are, I judge them as players. Off the field stuff never concerned me. You know, I could sit here and tell you how great O.J. Simpson was. Yeah, we could talk about the other stuff too. But because of the other stuff, I'm not going to not remember how dope he was as a player. Now, he's obviously the extreme. But again, this is what I'm saying. T.O. had the pom-poms. Was he selfish at times? Yes. Did he want the ball a lot? Name me a great elite receiver who didn't. Name me a great elite receiver who didn't care if he got the ball. I'll wait. Right. So, yes, he did all the prima donna things that were up. Look, he came up in that generation with Chad Ochocinco and Joe Horn. Everybody was looking at me. Everybody was trying to get that shine because shine meant paydays. Receivers normally didn't get paid a lot. In the 80s, receivers didn't get paid a lot. Even Jerry Rice in his prime years didn't really get broken off in comparison to how players and receivers are getting paid today. It took that 90s explosion, video games, commercials, all of that stuff, Madden blowing up. It took all of that to create the culture of, look at me. Let me get this commercial. Let me get this endorsement. Let me go out here and put a cell phone underneath the goalpost and pull it out on Monday Night Football. Let me go do that. Let me go give the football CPR in the end zone to get that shine on SportsCenter tonight. Because the more shine I got, my Q rating goes up. The higher my Q rating goes up, the more my agent can run in there and get that bread from them owners. That's what it was about. So I don't knock it. It was a way that the culture of the NFL created it. And the players try to capitalize off of it. I mean, bruh, T.O.'s really didn't get in, man. T.O., look, and again, I'm not an apologist. I'm not sitting here saying T.O. didn't do bad things in regards to dealing with the media and going overboard with some of his antics. I'm not here to defend that. All I'm saying is, what are you doing on the field? Was he a Hall of Fame player? Hall of Fame man? That's a whole other conversation. Was he a Hall of Fame player? And we get the two things confused. As much as this culture now is stick to sports, don't talk politics, don't do this, sports is my escape. But then when you hone in on just sports, you put in the other stuff when it's convenient. When I say T.O. was a dominant receiver of his era, top two, if not the top player, you throw in the antics. But when we want to talk about some real shit about sports, about how the NFL's Rooney Rule is a joke, and how race may play into that, then it's all stick to sports, man. Break down the games. I don't want to hear about off-the-court stuff, off-the-field stuff, and what may be leading to certain things. Talk about the X's and O's. That's the problem. You can't use it when it's only convenient for when you want to use it for something you agree with. So if you're going to say stick to sports when it comes to the Rooney Rule and things of that nature, and how, you know, Doug Williams back in the day was asked on Media Day, what's it feel to be a black quarterback? And how long has he been a black quarterback? And the criticism and the critique that Cam Newton came under fire for last year during the whole season and into Super Bowl, Media Day, and then the post-game reaction of Cam Newton. So if you want to stick to sports then, let's stick to sports when it comes to T.O. putting up godlike, elite-like numbers when it comes to him getting into the Hall of Fame. So there's an actual Super Bowl today, which is why I wanted to start off this podcast, but then the T.O. thing happened last night, and it really got me pissed off. So now that I got that T.O. thing off my chest, we'll move on to the actual big game, the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots. So this is an offensive shootout, right? That's the safe pick to say this is going to be an offensive shootout. You know, the Patriots are favored by 3. Everybody's expecting these two offenses to go out here and light it up. Everybody's saying take the over in the game in terms of points scored. Everybody's loving the offensive showcase that we're about to get. Haven't we seen this movie before? The Patriots against a high-powered offense or an alleged high-powered offense, and then somehow, someway, becomes a 19-17 game, a 21-20 game, a 24-21 game. Vegas ain't stupid. They're trying to get you to take the Falcons because you're falling in love with the gaudy numbers that the Falcons have put up. And while the Falcons have a really good chance to win this game, it's hard for me to go against the Patriots because I've seen this movie before. I've seen the Patriots go up against the offense that's supposed to be high-powered and have slowed them down, found a way, schemed their way into restricting points. That's what Belichick does. He restricts your points. He knows he can't win a shootout, so he finds a way to restrict your points, and Brady goes out there and puts up his 28+. And what about this Falcons defense makes you think they're going to restrict Brady from putting up his usual 28+? Unless Vic Beasley has the game of his life, unless Vic Beasley turns into LT and can make it so the Falcons don't have to blitz, I don't see how they have a chance at this game. I would like for Atlanta to win a championship. It'll be dope to see the Falcons win a championship, especially now that they've, you know, coincidentally have embraced Michael Vick a little bit again. It'll be nice to see Vick out there celebrating with the Falcons. That'll be dope. But it's hard for me to go against that. It's hard for me to root for that when you got Bill Belichick in the hoodie on the other side. It's hard. Brady, Belichick in the hoodie. You know, anybody that knows me knows I love a hoodie. It's hard for me to go against the hoodie here. I mean, again, the Patriots are going to score. Brady going to get his. So now that, you know, now MVP Matt Ryan. It's a whole nother story. But now MVP Matt Ryan now gets to lead his team against a Bill Belichick defense. Julio Jones or Quintaris, whatever you want to call him, Quintaris or Julio. He's not 100%. Alex Mack, arguably their best lineman, or arguably one of their most... Well, you know, no, he's not. Is he more important than Julio? No, I won't go that far. But Alex Mack, arguably their second or third most important player on the entire offense, if not the whole team. He's playing with a fractured leg, like T.O. did, and T.O. still beasted even up against a Bill Belichick defense. But, you know, he's not worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. So, with Alex Smack hobbling, Julio Jones hobbling, running backs ain't hobbling, so you got healthy there, and Coleman and Freeman, you're good there. Matty Ice fresh off the MVP, you're good there. Sanu, Gabriel, you're good there. All the weapons are there. What does Belichick have cooked up? That's the only thing I'm looking to see at 6:20. What does Belichick have cooked up to shut this down? Because we talked about on the last Pick and Pop podcast, and I am the Sam Duesenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheSamD. We talked about how Belichick schemes with his number one on your number two, with his number two on your number one with safety help. I think I said it slower that time, so if you didn't catch it on the last pod, you should have caught it just then. So, is he going to do that here? Does he take his two, put his two on Quintara / Julio, and then put his one on Sanu? What does he have cooked up? Can he do something else besides that? Does he go nickel? Who knows? I mean, that's the most intriguing thing to me. At the Patriots are going to score. Again, unless Vic Beasley turns into LT and has the game of his life, Atlanta's going to have to blitz to get pressure on Brady. So, if they can't do that, it's Swiss cheese. So, that's a given. It's the Atlanta offense versus the New England defense that will make all the difference in this game to me. If you're Atlanta, do you force feed the run? If you're New England, do you force feed the run? Both teams can take the same tech to keep the other's high-powered offense off the field. And New England is not great at running the ball, but LeGarrette Blount is just, he's just that dude where he can perform in a game like this and give you 100 yards. I mean, he only averaged about 60 yards a game anyway. But if they force feed him, and again, this Atlanta defense is not good by any stretch. You know, there's some that say, you know, they got off to a rocky start and then they turned it on the last half of the season. Look at who they beat and tell me if that's legitimate. To me, they're more of what we saw earlier in the year and what we've seen so far in the playoffs. In the playoffs, they haven't been that great either. So can the Patriots truck the Atlanta Falcons defense? I think it's yes. Can they throw on the Atlanta Falcons secondary? Yes. Trufant ain't back yet. He ain't going to be back. So yes, they can pass it on them. They can run it on them. What's stopping them? But it's the other side that matters. The other side is where it's at. The other side is where Belichick can find a way to stop the run of the Falcons. Two running backs, three running backs, it don't matter. End around to Sanu, end around to Gabriel, it don't matter. He could find a way to slow that down. And he's going to cook up the pressure on Matty Ice. Please believe. No way in hell he ain't throwing dudes in the pocket at Matty Ice. And Matty Ice has shown the penchant to run a little bit here. So maybe his running can offset that. We'll see. A lot of storylines. Everybody's making predictions. I mean, it's your thing to make a prediction. You have to when I have to, but it's like it's implored to make a pick. To me, I feel the Patriots are going to win, but I'm going to root, in essence, for Atlanta. I think New England's going to win, so let me just make sure that that's clear as day. I think New England's going to win, but I'm going to root for Atlanta in terms of the city of Atlanta, and for the Falcons, and hopefully Arthur Blank hooks up Michael Vick with an honorary Super Bowl ring, because that'll be dope. I'm not giving you a score in any of that stuff. If you are a betting man, and you know I've been known to place a wager or two, I'll take the under. I'm not taking the over. Everybody's loving to take the over. I'm taking the under. And I think you're cool taking the Patriots -3. So we will have a Super Bowl recap. You best believe that. And I know For those who've been wanting NBA stuff, I will give you what you've been wanting. I will do that. I will take care of you guys on the next pod. I'm in the middle of doing a move, so it's been a lot of things going on behind the scenes here personally with me, so it's been hard for me to get stuff done, but I will get back to you the next time I talk to you. It will be from a new state and a new crib. So there's that. But you have been listening to the Pick and Pop Podcast. I am Sam Duesenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheSamD. ShowFreeSports.com is where you can find my blog with my columns and opinions on sports and entertainment. Subscribe and rate on iTunes. That's Pick and Pop Podcast. That's Pick and Pop. Letter the N, O N. Pick and Pop. Hashtag Pick and Pop. Shout out to May 1st Music, who's doing the intro and the outro you're hearing right now. Go follow him on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/May1st Music. I will get into the LeBron, Chuck Shaq, Chuck Oakley. I'll get into all of that next show. Melo, the Bulls, Wade, Rondo, Butler. We'll get into all of that. Kevin Love. We'll get into all of that next pod, I swear to you. But right now, I just wanted to get on, do the Hall of Fame stuff and the Super Bowl stuff. I will take care of y'all. Shout out to y'all. I appreciate y'all for listening. And I'll be back next week.